T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand! Hits a deep to left field! That's way back! Shoots! Score! And it's a bummer! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line. Presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford. Celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice. KMOX.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. I'm Mike Claiborne. And if you've been out of circulation the last 24 hours, and you haven't heard that the Blues made a change as far as coaching is concerned, well, you come to the right place, because we're going to visit with Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. Jeremy covers the St. Louis Blues organization. He's been doing that for a number of years. And JR, you and I have talked, and I'm not sure if either one of us was surprised by the move. I felt that this was going to be a key week for the Blues as far as whether they were going to be able to climb back into things and whether they were going to use the same coach, that be it Mike Yeo. That didn't turn out.
Yeah, I think after I tweeted the news last night, I think you were the first one to tweet, is anyone surprised by this? You know, I don't think so. The expectations were high, Mike. Doug Armstrong did a lot, bringing in some pretty good players in the off season. And yeah, sometimes, myself included, we get caught up in the hype. You got to play the games on the ice. But for whatever reason, this team didn't gel early on. And Mike Yeo kind of, a couple times first month of the season, said that he expected as much. He felt like it was going to take some time to come together, but I just don't think anybody expected 2 wins in the first 9 games. And then even when you won a few in a row, you'd see some of those same inconsistencies. So that's what Doug Armstrong pointed to today when he said, why didn't it work out for Mike Yeo? He said, basically, it comes down to our record.
You know, when a coach gets fired, there's enough blame to go around. Doug Armstrong assumed responsibility today. Players, you know, what else can they say? But as you look at things, I always felt that with all the additions that the Blues made in the offseason, and there was a new move in the right direction, I still thought the big issue was you didn't have a goaltender who was consistent, and I didn't think that there was enough veteran leadership on this hockey club. And I think those are two things that helped do Mike Yeo in as well.
Yeah, those are two fair points, especially the goaltending. We've seen Jake Allen go through his slumps the past couple of years. And, you know, I know he was excited about the offseason. He had a little bit different training and probably worked a little bit on his mental game. But early on, the defense was poor. We saw that. The Blues giving up a lot of odd man rushes, a lot of breakaways, and Jake Allen unable to come up with, some of those saves that you don't always expect your goaltender to make. But I think a few weeks into the season, there started to be some goals that he should have stopped. And so I think confidence was a factor both with him and the team's confidence in Jake Allen. And to go to your point about the veteran leadership, I don't think the Blues have anybody who's kind of been there, done that, taken a team, put them on his shoulders. But I do think they've got some players who can be that type of player, maybe just aren't there yet. And so there's kind of a collection of players that are maybe tier two. And, they didn't do a good enough job to carry the group early on in the season. They just, I felt like there were some games that they lost that were kind of close, that if they win those, maybe it snowballs in the other direction and they start to win some games. But it went south and these guys didn't respond. So I think it did reflect on their leadership capability.
And I'm of the belief that they don't have enough guys who know how to win. I mean, in the past, when you've seen teams compete, there was somebody within the organization from a player standpoint that it had success somewhere. In this case, you don't have it. And sometimes the just being complacent and just accepting what's going on is not what it takes in order to win. I mean, you got to have some people who understand there's a price to pay.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I will. You know, I think they've got some high-end players. When you talk about a Tarasenko, I say potential high-end players. I think they've got some guys who they've been trying to groom as leaders for a number of years. But, you know, you go up and down this roster, you know, tell me who's, gone deep into the playoffs when you talk about a Ryan O'Reilly, you talk about a Braden Schenn, the guys that have been here in St. Louis, Tarasenko, Schwartz, Petrangelo, yeah, they made the one trip to the Western Conference Finals, and kudos to them for that. But, you know, that isn't really a big, long resume. So, yeah, you look up and down this roster, and you don't see guys that, have done that. So there's guys that have worn letters at other stays, in Buffalo, Vegas with David Perron, Toronto with Tyler Bozak. But this isn't a situation where you can, I think, rely on those guys and say, hey, take us where we need to go.
With that said, is the next step the Blues maybe shaking up the personnel? I mean, maybe you give some guys a chance to play under Craig Berube, but I'm of the belief that you need a culture change as well. And they tried to do it. They tried to do it in the offseason, but I think Doug Armstrong alluded to the fact that the core players are now on notice. And I think everybody in this hockey club is basically available. I don't think anyone's played well enough. And obviously Ryan O'Reilly has been their best player along with Edmondson. But I think everybody else is certainly available to be had.
Yeah, I don't want to say that I'm new to that party because, I've been indicating, for a few years now that this core has to come in to question. This group has not been able to get it done in the past, but I think now you're to that point. Look, you've been through some of these guys 4 years in the league. They're on their third coach, and that's just not right. It's not. I mean, you're looking at the general manager, too. He's on his, third coach. So it's just a situation where at some point you have to point to the guys that have been here the longest and break it up. So, they're going to put a new coach behind the bench, Craig Berube, Wednesday night in Nashville. And just like they did with Mike Yeo, a couple years ago, they're probably going to get a boost and play some better hockey than they have. But, that's what we thought was transforming when Mike Yeo came in, and we thought maybe they're going to get some traction there. But here we sit in the same position with the same cast of characters. I did like this team on paper heading into the season, and there still is time for these guys to maybe put something together. But I think Doug Armstrong, Tom Stillman, everybody, they've got to take a much closer look and see what their options are in terms of moving some of these core guys. Even the guys with the no-trade clauses, these things can change. I think that's going to be a priority this offseason.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic and also noted author. If you're looking for a holiday gift, My Blue Note with Bertie Federko is on bookstores everywhere in the United States and certainly parts of Canada. How's that going for you?
Real well, Mike. My friends, my real close good buddies, will tell you that it's written in crayon. So you can get that for Christmas and good stocking stuffer if somebody likes to read in crayon.
All right, tell me about Craig Berube. I knew him as a tough, hard nosed player in the National Hockey League, a heck of a fighter, and he seems like he's a pretty emotional guy when you see him behind the bench. You know him better than our listeners do. What are we getting in Craig Berube?
Well, and you probably know him better than I do, right? You're older than me, huh?
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, but no, you remember him as a player. I've seen some highlights and remember him a little bit. But, he could drop him, and he was physical. And, he's coached in this league actually a long time. He was 8 years in Philadelphia. I know six of those were as an assistant. Also had some time with their AHL minor league affiliate, 2 years with the big club as the head coach. And, the people I talked to in Philadelphia when Craig did come to St. Louis, they said he got kind of a raw deal. So the Flyers decided to move on from him, and he became available. He did a terrific job, Mike, with the Blues minor league affiliate, the Chicago Wolves, a couple of years ago. The young players that came up just raved about him. They said that real good communicator, real positive guy. I did a diary with Robert Thomas, the Blues rookie this year, and he many times he told me that he had great conversations with Craig Berube in training camp. So I know the players like him. And today in practice, Mike, he was as loud as could be. You were out in the mall hallway, and you could hear Craig Berube getting after it on the practice ice. So, I think it's a good fit. Interim basis, we'll see where it goes, and then the Blues have to evaluate their options.
So with a change in coaching, it's always an opportunity for some, and maybe it puts other people in their places. Who are you looking for to take advantage and prosper from this change in coaching, where they maybe get a better look? And who do you think might be saddled with a different role than what they were 24 hours ago?
Yeah, a couple good questions here. It's going to be tough, first of all, because a lot of these guys are are banged up, you're still going to be without Jaden Schwartz. Carl Gunnarsson's going to be out. Patrick Maroon's back on the ice, but you know we don't know if he'll play on Wednesday. So they are banged up. So it's going to be a tough week too with Nashville twice and Winnipeg. So you know I think Craig Berube going into these next few games, tough opponents, not with his full stack. He's probably just going to have to put a roster out there and hope for the best. But once they do get full strength and see if they can get their feet underneath them. With the new coach, I think he's going to have to take an honest look at a lot of guys. To me, it's going to go back to the core. Look, Jaden Schwartz got to produce. Vladimir Tarasenko, who I really do think has shown a stronger desire here lately, he seems to be, becoming that player that you'd hope he'd be and be involved in a lot of different things. But he's got to be more consistent. Alex Pietrangelo, more consistent this year. So I think what Craig Berube is going to have to do is rely on those guys, give those guys a shot to prove to him that they want it, because that's ultimately the group that Doug Armstrong is going to have to evaluate at the end of the year and see which guys are coming back.
Well, it's going to be interesting for sure, and he's going to have the assistance of Larry Robinson, 9-time Stanley Cup winner, just an incredible player, and certainly he's coached in this regard also. How much is that going to help? Because I know, as Doug Armstrong alluded to earlier today, Steve Ott, who's working hard, but this is his second year. Mike Van Ryn, this is his first year coaching with the Blues. Probably good coaches down the road, but probably not the Band-Aid you need to fix this hockey club with right now.
Yeah, I'm really interested in seeing what Larry Robinson can do to help this group. They've had a lot of big names.
Maybe play.
Type guys around the organization. Yeah, around the organization. I mean, when you talk about having Al MacInnis, I know Brett Hall's been on the business side, Marty Brodeur, Larry Robinson, a lot of these guys around the organization, but other than Marty, that stint that he had as the goalie coach, nobody really on the ice training, helping these guys. And I think, why not? Why not have those guys out there? And so Larry Robinson, I mean, this guy's a Hall of Famer. You mentioned the 9 Stanley Cups, but he's picking up bags and putting them on the rack. And, we see him on the bench watching practice even past months. So, he's got to get out there. This is going to help the coaching staff, I think. It's going to help Craig Berube. And it's got to help these young defensemen, too. We need to see more development out of some of these young guys like Colton Parayko, Vince Dunn, Jordan Schmaltz. So I'm looking forward to Larry Robinson being on that staff.
Well, hopefully between he and Craig Berube, they can show some guys how to hit somebody and maybe forecheck a little bit more effectively, too. That's another element of this team that's missing. They don't have a Banny Rooster. They don't have a guy who really can put the forecheck on and force the issue and draw some penalties along the way. And maybe they'll change their style. I just think that this is going to be a work in progress. I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but we'll have to wait and see.
Mike, that point should not be overlooked. This team hasn't been physical, and I realize you look at them up and down the lineup, they're not that type of team anymore. But when it doesn't matter what type of game you play, you're a skill guy. You can still play that brand of hockey in terms of being a little more physical, getting in the corners. And I think when I saw Craig Berube sit at that stage today and talk about what he wants to bring to the team, that's the number one thing that came to my mind. If this guy can make this team a little bit tougher, they'd be better off for it.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. You can read him online at The Athletic. We thank you for your time, sir. Best of luck with the book. Have a great holiday. And hopefully we'll be writing or reading some good stories about the turnaround of the St. Louis Blues.
Mr. Claiborne, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Happy holidays. And I hope you get a good meal in Thursday, because I know I will.
You get a good one in just about every day. So
that's every day of the year.
You can keep that streak going, I think. Hey, thanks again, man, and enjoy your time with your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. That is Jeremy Rutherford of the Athletic. All right, coming up in just a bit, if you want to learn more about Craig Berube, John Kelly and the Behind the Bench show will be coming your way. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, it'll be Danny Mack. He'll have Carolyn Kendall Betts along with Jim Cavanaugh talking soccer, the MLS, and its quest to come to St. Louis. Folks, it's the most informational thing you're going to hear, and it comes your way in a 7 o'clock hour. Behind the Bench comes your way next after we take this time out on KMOX.
This is a special presentation of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Welcome to Behind the Bench with Blues broadcaster John Kelly on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
And John Kelly back on KMOX, and we are joined by the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, Craig Berube, who, of course, was named interim coach late last night after the Blues losing to the LA Kings. And Coach, I'm sure it was an emotional time after the game when Doug came to you and your good friend Mike Yo is relieved of his duties. I just can't imagine how tough it is for everybody.
Well, it is. It's tough on everybody, and you know, it's unfortunate, the situation, and you know, it falls on everybody, to be honest with you. Like, and but you know, the head coach is the one that pays for it, and it's not fair, but that's the world of hockey.
Craig, you've been around this game for a long time. You played in the NHL for 17 years. You've been a head coach. You've been a head coach in the minors. So you've seen coaches get dismissed in the middle of the season like we saw last night. So what's the key for a new coach coming in?
Well, I think just like starting today, like just we got a set of demands that we want, and we gotta be better. That's the bottom line. Like, we're not – this is a good hockey team, but it hasn't played like a good hockey team. It's been very inconsistent, and we got to find consistency. And so that starts in practice, and it starts with demanding more.
It also seems from watching from afar, certain games like maybe the Chicago game, just not a lot of enthusiasm. Have the guys not been having as much fun as they should have been having? I know after losses it's a loss, but it's still a game.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're not winning, it's not fun. And I don't think that the confidence is there. So going into a lot of those games, like the Chicago game, I don't think they felt confident, so they don't play confident, and it looks like you don't have energy.
Coach, how big of an advantage is it to know that you've been with this organization now for a couple of years, coaching the Chicago Wolves, and of course coaching last year? So you certainly know the personnel.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it is, and like I said, it's a great management and coaching staff to work with, and players too. I've enjoyed all of it, and you know, we lost a good man. And we got to move forward. But, you know, like I said, I enjoy everybody I work with.
Coach, you did have a practice today before flying to Nashville early this afternoon. Was there a certain message that you wanted to convey to the club before going on the ice?
I don't know if it was a message, but we need to play with more pace and execution. And that's what we worked on today.
Any particular tweaks we could see? I know it's a short turnaround with a game tomorrow night, but any tweaks you might see tomorrow night?
Well, we got to play with the puck a lot more than we are, and we got to make things happen with it a lot more. So, you know, we want to be a puck possession hockey team, and we want to play fast. So that's what we're working on.
How big of a challenge is it this week with back-to-back home and home against Nashville and then Winnipeg on Saturday?
Well, you're playing two really good hockey teams that are tough, and but you know, we got to get up for the challenge here, and it's a good challenge for us, and we'll see what we're made out of.
Coach, how confident are you that you can get things turned around quickly and headed in the right direction?
Well, we're always confident as a coach and staff and a management group. I think that you know, we got to instill that confidence in our players.
Thank you for your time, Craig, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
All right, that's Craig Berube, the coach of the St. Louis Blues. Back with more right here on Camo X.
Welcome back to Behind the Bench with John Kelly on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, Camo X.
And welcome back on Behind the Bench. I'm John Kelly right here on Camo X. The Blues, of course, are off tonight. Tomorrow night, they resume play in Nashville, a game against the Predators. That game begins at 7 o'clock St. Louis time. And, of course, the Blues facing the Preds the first time this season. Right now, Nashville off to a great start. As a matter of fact, they lead the entire NHL with a mark of 15-5-1, good for 31 points atop the Central Division and the entire NHL. Again, thanks to Craig Berube for joining us in our last segment. And earlier today at the St. Louis Mills, Blues General Manager Doug Armstrong addressed the media, and here is some of that press conference.
No, it's obviously an uncomfortable day for myself and the organization. A difficult decision was made last night to relieve Mike Yo of his head coaching duties. You never make these decisions in a vacuum or quickly, and it was just something that that I felt and shared with ownership that it was time to make a change to see what we can accomplish for this season. With that being said, I'm excited to work with Craig. Craig's career speaks for itself as a player. He's put his time in as a NHL head coach before. He's worked in our organization with some of our younger players. He's in tune with today's game. He's in tune with today's athlete. And I'm excited to work with him on an interim basis, you know, and I thank him for being a total team player and grabbing the rope when I asked him last night in a very uncomfortable time for him and the organization. I want to thank Mike Yeo for his time with the Blues. Guy got to know Mike and his family well, and that's the difficult part of this. You start out as co-workers, then you become friends, and then you have to go back to co-workers. And that was the talk I had with him last night, telling him that we had to make a change. My experience is being where he was sitting. As soon as you hear that information, your mind starts to move quickly. I got to talk to my wife, I got to talk to my kids. And so Mike and I have plans to get with Mike later in the next week or two to go over and thank him personally reassure him that he's paying for the sins of myself and the entire organization. And it's very unfortunate. Also, Larry Robinson is going to jump in on Craig's staff for the next foreseeable future, meaning probably 3 weeks to a month. I'm excited about Steve Ott and Mike Van Ryan, but they're very young and inexperienced as far as being on NHL staff. I think having Larry come in to give Craig someone to talk to that been there, done that, is going to be good for him. And in that process, Craig and I will talk about maybe some people that potentially can come in and work with him until we decide which way we're going to go as far as the head coach, the permanent head coach. You know, ultimately it comes back to our record. I thought when he came in, he was able to gel the team, and we went on a nice run. We won a playoff round. We had a good feeling about ourselves. That carried over into the first 25 games of the next season. We were a top three or four team in the league, feeling good about ourselves. Everything was going well. Then we hit a rut in December, January, and quite honestly, we haven't got out of it. If you look at our record since December 1st of 17, we're about a 500 hockey team, and that's not good enough in today's NHL. And as I said, Mike is paying for sins of a collective group. It's not all on Mike, but ultimately, as the head coach, you're responsible to get the team to play at a level. I thought we made some changes this summer that would put us in a different spot than we are at this time. We haven't had consistent play from our top players. That goes without saying. And the NHL is a top player league. If your top players are playing at their best on a consistent basis, you usually have success. And we've had ebbs and flows from our core group of players that has had an effect. I think you just look at the plus minus of our core group of players, and that'll give you an indication that we're not playing well enough 5-on-5. And early in the season, when you look at our goal scoring was near the top of the league. A lot of it was power play driven, but our 5-on-5 play wasn't good enough. And when the power play dries up, you still have to be able to produce, and we haven't been able to do that. One of the areas I think of concern is that over the last five or six games, we don't play competitively enough to draw penalties. You get one or two, zero. That's not an indication on the NHL putting their whistles away. That's the indication of us not going into the areas to make other teams defend us illegally. That's how I'm not really sure. That took that a different direction. But
you said that Mike is paying for the sins of you and the organization. What are the sins that you've committed?
We're not good enough. As a general manager, the wins and losses fall on hockey operations, and as the president of hockey operations and the general manager of the team, there's things that need to be addressed, and we've stayed patient with a core group of players, and that patience now is at its thinnest point.
Doug, you said when you fired Hitch and brought in Mike that these players will be held accountable. I'm not firing another coach, yet here we are today. Have those players been held accountable?
That's why I hate having these press conferences. You guys got good memories. Yeah, we everything you've said is correct. I don't remember saying that, but if I did, I did. And as I said, the core group's equity built up is gone. That's what I have to say. And I guess I could say it again, that the next permanent head coach, if we're having this conversation, there'll be core players gone. But I guess if I've said that once, I wouldn't believe it either. But I truly believe it this time, is that we transferred into a different group. That group isn't three people. That group's eight or nine people, in my opinion. And they have to get us out of this. That's, you know, again, I spend time with Mike. I spend time with Dave Taylor, Al McGinnis, people that I really trust. And the message of the game plan that Mike shared with us sounded appropriate. Sounded it fit our style of play. Sounded it fit like our personnel. But we didn't see it on a consistent basis. And as I said, ultimately, the head coach is responsible for that. But I think it goes much deeper than that. And we need our best players to be our best players on a much more consistent basis.
How would you describe Craig's job security moving forward? I mean, if they play well, does he have a legitimate chance to become the permanent head coach?
Yeah, I would say the coaching, the interim tag is based on a decision made last night. He did a very good job with our American Hockey League affiliate. He's got experience. He's going to be given that opportunity. But as a manager, you have to multitask. I'm going to throw my full support behind Craig and his staff right now as we try and cauterize the wound and get back into the playoff picture. By doing that, though, we're going to start the process of putting a list together of head coaches. There's going to be experienced head coaches on that list. There's going to be European head coaches on that list. There's going to be college head coaches on that list, major, junior head. We're not going to minimize or limit the scope that we're going to look at, but it's not something that's going to be done over the next day or two. This is going to be a process that we're going to look hard and be thorough on. And doing that, we're going to support Craig and his staff. And you would love to have a situation where enough is enough for our core group and they take charge of this team. And Craig is at the helm of that, and we have great success, and we move forward together.
Doug, do you see any other scenario where you would hire a permanent coach in season before the season's over? Is that possible?
It's possible. I'm not sure if it's probable, but it's possible. You know, as I said, we're going to have to multitask, and it's not probably something that people are going to want to hear, but. After this press conference is over, that's the last time we're going to be talking about the permanent head coach until he's sitting beside here, up here announcing him. It's not something that we're going to give updates on how the search is going or where you're at in the process. It's unfair to the team. This team's job is to win hockey games, and my job is to support this team.
Do you know about the timing of the change? Wait, somebody's considering it last night. You saw something in the game and thought, that's it, I got it.
Yeah, I think the... You want to be supportive of the group. You know, early in the year we were scoring goals but not defending well. Now we're defending well and not scoring. It wasn't something you want to make a knee-jerk reaction on. The last homestand was big for us. You know, we had an opportunity to go 5-2. We walk out of that 4-3, but you say as a manager, all right, one more, and then we obviously been shut out three of the last four games and lost four of the last five, and at some point you have to make the decision you don't want to make, and that was last night.
In your sport, more than the other three pro sports, captaincy and leadership, the captain position is more important, it seems. Can you describe what you've gotten out of your captain and leader?
Yeah, I would say that I would think that is not the case as much as it maybe was in the past. I think that our sport has gone to leadership groups, and we're not at the forefront of it, but we're also in with the masses. I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, a top team. They've got top end players, former captains. They've decided to go with all A's, and I'm certainly not going to remove letters from this group. But ultimately, it's not a one man show. maybe if you have a Mark Messier, maybe if you had a generational leader, and that's nothing against Petro, but maybe one guy can corral the whole group. I just don't think that's the reality of today's sport. There's so much change in staffing, player staffing, that it's, I think you need a pack mentality of leadership, and that goes more to a core group than just one or three individuals. I think our leadership group is much, much deeper than just the three guys, and they should be all held accountable as those three guys are.
Yeah, how would you grade the leadership group thus far this season?
Well, obviously below average.
Army, understanding everything that you just said about making the decision, waiting through the homestand, seeing if it would get better, how did you weigh the decision of perhaps waiting too long to make it, not giving yourself enough season left?
That's the balancing act, and that's the, you know, I feel we can make the playoffs. I feel that doing it today gives us that opportunity. I was hoping that we would have responded with a win last night and then carried that into playing Nashville and grabbing that one, coming home, grabbing a couple of home wins, and then we're up and running. It didn't happen that way. We made the change. And I think one of the things that is concerning is our home record. And I go back to what got my attention for our group was the last two home games last year, when we had put ourselves in a position to solidify a playoff spot. And we lost to a Chicago team that was really wasn't playing for much. We lost to a Washington team that had just clinched everything they could clinch the night before in Pittsburgh and was tired. And then it flowed into this year. Our home record isn't nearly something that we can accept. You know, the natural thing as a St. Louisan is that it's a blue collar town, and we have a good corporate base, but a lot of our fans are workers, and they, you know, it takes a commitment to come to a Blues game, and we need to send them home happier than we're sending them home, and with a greater effort. I watched the Edmonton Calgary game the other night, a divisional game, the Battle of Alberta, the raw emotion that was in that. And then I see us play Chicago, and I don't see that same raw emotion, and it's concerning. And we need to make this a much more difficult place to play in, and that starts with our core group demanding it of each other.
Army, when you have to let go of a coach, what's that discussion like with ownership? And when you're talking with Tom Stone these days, how's he feeling about where you guys are at right now in this decision?
How's he feeling? He's angry. Not angry at any one individual. He's angry. He's a fan. Like I talk about the blue collar people that come to our game. You know, he might be white collar, but he's a blue collar fan, and he loves the game, and he gets angry when we don't play well, and it's a good anger. It's not venting. So he's disappointed where we're at. We walk through the process of where we're at. We talk on a daily or every other day basis, so it's not something that I hadn't talked to him since training camp, and I called him at the second period last night, you know. but he's disappointed. He's supportive of what we want to do. He also believes that Mike is paying for sins that aren't his, just his own. And he's obviously said, if this group isn't the right group, I need you to do your job.
There's a lot of talk in this town about free agency in reference to baseball players. There's a free agency in regards to available coaches right now in your sport. Can you talk about the intensity towards a particular?
Well, anyone that's not working is probably free. But, our net is wide. There's experienced coaches, not just probably the one that you're referring to, but there's some other ones that have had a lot of success that we're going to put on our to-do list and go through the proper channels to make contact. And again, I'm not, this isn't just any one individual. This is a group. This is going to be a group of coaches that we're going to see if they fit, if we fit their criteria and if they fit our criteria.
Do you have interest in Joel Quinville?
I'm not going to talk about any one individual.
And once again, you have been hearing from Blues general manager Doug Armstrong and interim coach Craig Berube. Of course, Berube has quite the resume. The 52-year-old spent 17 years in the NHL as a player, played over 1,000 games with the Flyers, Toronto, Calgary, Washington, and the Islanders. He picked up 159 points, but he was known as a very tough man and a tough customer as he accrued 3,149 minutes in penalties in his 17-year NHL career. And he has quite the coaching resume as well. Of course, a couple of years ago, he coached the Blues Farm Club in Chicago, the Chicago Wolves, and prior to that spent 11 years in the Philadelphia organization coaching. He coached for 6 years as an assistant coach with the Flyers. He was their head coach from 2013 to 2015, had a very good record of 75, 58, and 28, and also coached 4 years in the American Hockey League with the Flyers team, the Philadelphia Phantoms. So Craig Berube has done it all. He has played. He's been an assistant coach, a head coach in the minors, an assistant coach in the NHL, and now a head coach again with the St. Louis Blues. That's our show for tonight. We want to thank Craig Berube and also Doug Armstrong, and thank you for joining us tonight. The Blues resume play again tomorrow night in Nashville. That game begins at 7 o'clock and can be heard right here on KMOX. I'm John Kelly. Have a great night, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.